You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome, Giants fans. You are listening to the Valentine's Views podcast here on Big Blue View Radio, part of the SB Nation family of podcasts. I'm your host, Ed Valentine of Big Blue View. Today we have a packed show for you. We'll have an interview with David Morris, who runs QB Country. Morris played at Ole Miss with Eli Manning and currently trains Duke quarterback Daniel Jones. So he'll have some interesting things to say regarding the current and possible future of the Giants quarterback situation. We will also have an interview with Drew Boilhart of the popular draft website, The Huddle Report. First, though, I want to address a topic that's kind of come up recently at Big Blue View and has come up throughout the 2018 season and recently during the offseason, and that is Giants defensive end outside linebacker Olivier Vernon and just what kind of player Vernon actually is. This week, Pro Football Focus is going through its top 101 players of 2018. To this point, as I tape this, the PFF, Pro Football Focus, has gone through from number 101 to number 50. Vernon was named number 70 on that list. Really the second honor that Vernon has received this offseason, as he was also named a first alternate to the Pro Bowl, where he, as you know, ended up replacing Khalil Mack and actually playing in the game. There's a large segment of the Giants fan base that just doesn't understand this love for Vernon, you know, from the analyst community and from the NFL community itself. They look at Vernon's, you know, massive contract, $85 million over 5 years. They look at the games he's missed over the last two seasons. I think he's missed 9 games total over 2 years, both times due to ankle injuries. They look at the fact that in none of his 3 seasons with the Giants has he accumulated double-digit sack totals. And they basically think that Vernon is an overpaid, underproductive player. The reality of it is Olivier Vernon is a very good football player. What he is not and never has been, if you look back at his career in Miami, what he never has been is a dominant, dynamic pass rusher, a guy who just blows people away off the edge. The way, for example, that OCU Manyora did for the Giants, you know, back in his day. Vernon is a good football player. He's probably a guy who's not a number one defensive end. He's probably not a guy who should be the best player on your defensive line. The problem for me isn't Vernon. Really, the problem for me is that the Giants don't have or haven't had the dynamic player, you know, to pair with Vernon. And I know some people will say, well, they traded away JPP, which they did, and I supported that. You know, but, you know, when the Giants did have JPP, he and Vernon did make a fairly dynamic pair. And what the Giants really need is someone who to pair with Vernon. This is a guy who he plays the run very well. He does rush the passer well. He doesn't create a lot of sacks. You know, Dan Pizzuta did a thing recently at Big Blue View talking about pressure rates and pointing out that the Giants were good at pressuring the quarterback. They just weren't good at actually finishing the play and getting the sack. And in a lot of cases, that's the kind of pass rusher that Vernon is. He can create havoc. He creates impact. He creates situations where the quarterback has to throw the ball quickly or has to get out of the pocket and move around, hold the ball a little bit. But Vernon doesn't pile up the huge sack numbers. For me, he's probably a number two on your defensive line, not really a number one. He obviously, you know, as a number two with the kind of production that he's had, he makes too much money. But I've said this before, that's the situation the Giants were in back in 2016. They needed defensive players. They needed a quick infusion of proven defensive playmakers. Vernon was the best available on the market as far as a defensive end who could rush the passer at that point in time. And the Giants paid what the price was to get him to come to New York. That simply is how free agency works. So, you know, I don't know what's going to happen with Vernon. I don't know if he will be back with the Giants next season. Obviously, we've talked at Big Blue View about the fact that if the Giants were to make Olivier Vernon a post-June 1 cut, they would save $15.5 million off the salary cap. Vernon carries, I believe, a $19.5 million cap hit for the 2019 season, and that is an awful, awful lot. So I don't know what's going to happen there, but what I do know is that if the Giants do make the decision that they need to move on from Olivier Vernon, that is an awful lot of production. That is a very good football player who will need to be replaced. All right, let's switch gears right now for you here. You're going to hear a pair of interviews. The first one will be with David Morris of QB Country. And after that, you will hear my interview with Drew Boilhart of the Huddle Report. I hope you enjoy both.
So, real quick, Let's get started. Let's just quickly tell people a little bit about QB Country and a little bit about what you do.
So QB Country is a quarterback training and development company that trains, you know, NFL guys all the way down to middle school kids, and I would say the bread and butter of the majority of what we do is as a company would be high school, middle school.
Mm-hmm.
And we train a lot of college guys because we've kept our college guys over the years, and we kind of trickling into the NFL stuff now at that same path. So that's kind of the way it works.
And I know you have a long-term relationship with the guy who's quarterbacking the Giants right now, that being Eli Manning. You were a college teammate of Eli's, correct?
That's right. Yep.
And what do you see now, you know, from Eli Manning? Obviously, there's so much talk about Eli and, you know, how much time he might have left in his career and whether the Giants should continue to go with Eli Manning. I mean, what do you see when you look at Eli Manning now?
I see a guy that can play at the highest level. I think he's as good as he's ever been. And I think he's a guy that showed that this year at times. And I know that there are times where he would tell you he wants to play better. But I mean, I think he's got a lot left in the tank. And I think he's in a position where he's working like he's going to be playing for the foreseeable future. So, I mean, I think nothing changes in his mind. And I think he's a guy that, that is going to be at it for a while.
Okay. So obviously, everybody talks about, Eli being, 38 this coming season, the Giants perhaps you know, needing to begin to think about a transition plan, you know, for Eli. At least that seems to be the majority opinion. And you happen to work with a guy who people think might be, you know, a Giants target when it comes to that transition plan, that being, you know, Duke quarterback Daniel Jones. And if I'm not mistaken, you have worked with Jones since he was a high school kid?
That's correct, yep. Started training Daniel since his, I guess, in his sophomore year in high school.
So did you, you know, when did you begin to see, you know, the kind of ability in Jones that, you know, people might, you know, he might be a first round pick, he might be a second round pick. Everybody seems to feel a little differently about what Jones might be, you know, in this coming draft. When did you start to see that kind of ability in him?
You know, I thought early on there was a lot of potential, and there was, I saw a kid who was very hungry and a kid who was talented and a kid who was growing and very mature and you know, very driven. And so I think from a young age, you see all that stuff. And then as he continues to grow, by the time he was done with high school, I think we would have said, hey, the kid, you know, one day has NFL potential. And that's how we saw it from, you know, really probably from into his junior year. You know, thought, you know, if the stars align, if he keeps developing, keeps getting better, you know, he's going to be in the NFL one day.
And what was your? I know you were down, you know, there at the Senior Bowl recently. What was your role at the Senior Bowl?
No official role. We did a camp this year with the Senior Bowl quarterback camp for high school quarterbacks. But no, not a role. There's no role.
No official role. Okay, yeah, I wasn't certain about that. But what do you think, you know, those different impressions of the week that Daniel had at the Senior Bowl? Some people came out of the week thinking he had, you know, he played so well in the game that he had improved his situation, you know, heading into the draft. Other people looked at the practices and weren't as impressed with what he did during the week. What was your thought on what Jones accomplished or maybe didn't accomplish during the week?
You know, I thought he got better every day. I thought he had the, you know, maybe the throw of the day each day, and probably the throw of the game. You know, I think, you know, for a quarterback, that's a fun week, but it's also a tricky week. You know, you got four other guys or three other guys there on your side, and everybody's trying to cram and learn that offense. And then you're, you know, having interviews and meetings, and there's a lot on all those guys' plates. But I thought Daniel got better every day, and I think he showed that, you know, that he fits in and that he can do it as good as anybody or better.
One more thing. You know, I know that that you were coached and Eli Manning was coached and Daniel has been coached by David Cutcliffe, and everyone talks about, you know, Coach Cutcliffe's ability with quarterbacks. What, in your mind, is the advantage? You know, what is it that Coach Cutcliffe brings to the table, you know, in coaching quarterbacks that can really help someone, you know, along the way?
Probably more than anybody else on the team. He expects a lot of his quarterbacks, and you know, he puts a lot on their plate. He asks a lot of them from a leadership standpoint, from a you know, from a standpoint of just doing things to a high standard. And you know, I think from a pure football standpoint, he takes you on a deep dive. You know, whether it be footwork or mechanics or, you know, the you know, offensive football and how to get through progressions, you know, he teaches you a lot, and you have to learn a lot of defensive football and, you know, fronts and what works for certain looks and what doesn't. So I just think he, you know, I've said this before. I think a David Cutcliffe quarterback is a prepared quarterback and a guy that that understands the responsibility of the position.
Last question for you, David, because I know your time's kind of limited here. But if you look at the relationships, between Coach Cutcliffe, I know there's an existing relationship, between, Daniel Jones and Eli Manning. Does Daniel Jones, as a potential successor to Eli in New York, does that make sense to you, if you were to try to connect those dots?
That's above my pay grade. I just don't know how the whole thing will shake out. I think that, Eli's the quarterback there. Sometimes the media gives him a hard time. I mean, he had statistically one of the best years of his career. I think that's pretty well established within, people in the know there in New York that he's the guy. I mean, I think Daniel – will be on somebody's team, here in 4 or 5 months, and we're going to be excited about whatever opportunity comes. I mean, I think any opportunity is a good one there at that level in the league, and he looks at it like, it's just going to be an opportunity to get better and an opportunity to lead, and, if that means sitting early and learning and being a great teammate, he'll do it. Obviously, he's a competitor, and so, he would be a guy that, would be excited to play. But, I mean, I think he knows that there's situations where he may be asked to play immediately, and there's other situations where, he's going to be expected to learn for a little period of time. And we don't know. We don't know which way it's going to turn.
Hey, David, I really appreciate your spending a few minutes. I know you've got to run, so I'll let you go. All right, hopefully we'll get to talk to you again.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Okay, Giants fans, I'm joined now by a special guest for today's show, Drew Boilhart of The Huddle Report, which is one of the more interesting and informative sites that you'll come across as you study prospects for the 2019 NFL draft. Drew, how are you today?
Good. I want to thank you very much, Ed, for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for spending a few minutes with us. Why don't we start with this? Why don't you go ahead and tell folks who might not be familiar with the Huddle Report a little bit about the website, a little bit about what you do there?
Well, Robbie Esch started the Huddle Report in 2001, and I came on in 2004 and did profiles. I've been involved in the draft since 1979. And I got sucked into it when I couldn't understand why nobody picked Joe Montana until the third round. So since then, it's an addiction, and it's something that we, Rob and I, just love to do. And he started the value board. And what I do is I do profiles, and I do the talent grade on the players. And the talent grade has nothing to do with where a player will be picked in the draft. The value board dictates that with an 80% accuracy rate. So we marry the two together, and sometimes you'll find players down in the fourth and fifth and sixth round on his board that may have a one or a two or a three on them, and that just means that I just think they're going to be good players, whether they're picked in the third or fourth round or not. So that's how we started, and people have enjoyed it over the years, and they've cursed at me and sworn at me and told me I'm a jerk and an idiot, and there's other guys who think it's fantastic, and it's just a love that we have, and Rob and I both love to do it.
Well, I will say this, you know, and for folks that aren't familiar with the Huddle Report and aren't familiar with Drew's scouting reports, if you get tired of reading the same old ABC scouting reports about players, the stuff that Drew writes is very different. I don't know if it's a more personal touch that you put into those, Drew. I'm not quite sure how to describe it, but they certainly aren't the standard, you know, cut and dry scouting reports that you'll get elsewhere.
Well, what I try to do is I don't get into the technical aspects. There's plenty of people that can do that to you, tell you, you know, how well a guy throws the ball or doesn't throw the ball. What I'm trying to do is find out the intangibles, understand the intangibles of the players. Anybody can see how talented a player is. I mean, my 96-year-old mother can look at a TV guy and go, boy, that kid can really throw a ball. I mean, it doesn't take a genius to figure that stuff out. But what's the difference in a guy who can throw the ball like Jeff George and a guy who can't throw the ball like Tom Brady? I mean, what makes Tom Brady great? What makes Jeff George not great? What is that thing that we all try to figure out? And that, to me, is the most important part. And that's what I try to delve into. Yeah, I'll give you a little bit of the specifics, like he moves his feet well and he does this, lateral agility, yada, yada, yada. His, you know, his speed is really good. But I want to know why he's going to be a better offensive tackle than the guy who's rated ahead of him or the guy who's rated behind him or what the heck is going on. That's what I want to do, and that's what I try to do.
So let's talk a little bit. Obviously, you know, Big Blue View covers the New York Giants. Let's talk a little bit about the upcoming draft as it relates to the Giants. Obviously, everyone talks about the quarterback situation, you know, with the Giants. Are you one of those people who thinks that for the Giants, especially in the first round at number six, that it's really, you know, Dwayne Haskins or bust, or are there other quarterbacks you see, you know, that could be, you know, the fit for the Giants there?
Well, there's a lot of different things they could do. I mean, they're in the same position they were in last year. You still got the rookie of the year, but what did it get you? But then again, you know, he's a great player. I mean, so you go into this situation and you're in the same process that you were in last year. Do you want to get Dwayne Haskins? I'm not a guy who checks the boxes. I don't believe in checking boxes to try to figure out if a guy's profile is going to be good or not. You know, Bill Parcells was a great coach, but he wasn't necessarily a great talent evaluator. He could coach talent, but he couldn't necessarily evaluate talent to coach. So this nonsense where somebody has to have so many snaps underneath their belt and somebody has to have this and somebody has to have that before I'll pick them. Well, Bill Parcells never really developed anybody. So he's had great players. He's been a great coach. Don't get me wrong. Don't start in Twitter me and tell me I'm a jerk and all this stuff. I'm just saying that evaluating talent to coach and coaching talent is two separate situations in most cases, exceptions to all rules, as we all know. Dwayne Haskins, to me, is an outstanding prospect. And the reason I see that is because he will stand in the pocket, and he has one of the quickest releases and the strongest arms since Dan Marino. Now, because he has that quick release, he doesn't want to leave that pocket too quick. He's a pretty good athlete. He could leave the pocket if he wants to. But he's so comfortable in that thing. And what I really liked about him this year was he took his talents and he changed them and manipulated them to set to adjust to the offense that he was in rather than the other way around. He actually adjusted his way of playing to help out his team this year. That's a very, very intelligent ball player right there. So he's a good ball player, and if they want him, they should take him. Daniel Jones, I like him a lot. He's had a lot of training, a lot of work with the Mannings. There's a confidence issue there. If he sat behind Eli, that wouldn't be a bad idea for him. I consider him a potentially a pretty good quarterback. And the kid that I like and nobody wants to talk about is Ryan Finley. He's very, very polished. He could walk in and probably do a job for a team in his first year, wind up being very, very good. How well he'll improve from here on is a little bit debatable. He might have hit his ceiling, but he's a ball player that I would really, really love to see the Giants take. And he could be taken later on in the round. And there's Drew Locke, who everybody likes. I'm not wild about him. I don't think he's mentally tough. I think his mental strength is lacking, especially in the pocket. He struggles under pressure, but he has the arm, he has the talent. And if they want to sit him behind Eli for a year or two, maybe he will get that, you know, strength to him. But he kind of reminds me a little bit of Joe Flacco in that, you know, he'll have some games where he may stand in there, but there are other games where he'll struggle big time. So that's about it, really. If the Giants want to go for him, they want to drop back, they want to pick somebody at the sixth pick, they have their options. But, you know, it's not a great as it was last year in talent-wise, but it got good mental strength. And, of course, there's Kyler Murray, who nobody wants to talk about and everybody's afraid of. And my theory about him is he's a freak of nature. He's got great talent. And if you can't coach this kid to be successful in the NFL, then really how good a coach could you possibly be? I mean, how much more talent do you want sitting in front of you? Why? Because he's a little short? Give me a break. So those are the options.
That's interesting. You know, Drew, I know that so many people look at a guy like Kyler Murray and they're just not sure, you know, where he'd fit, you know, whether, you know, what teams can coach him, you know, what coaches can develop him properly. But it sounds like, you know, like to me that you're a guy who's kind of all in on Murray.
Yeah, I see nothing wrong with Murray at all. I mean, explain to me what is wrong with Kyler Murray. All they say is baseball. Nobody has said one thing about his talent. Not one thing have they said. So what is so bad about picking Kyler Murray? You're afraid to go to the next level of maybe opening up the offense and being a little bit different? You're that scared to do that because he's a little short? You can't set him back behind the line of scrimmage, maybe 2 yards further. He's got the athletic talent to do anything you want. He's got the arm strength, the accuracy. What are you so afraid of?
It's interesting. The NFL's always been sort of a league where guys, they want guys to fit into a pre-existing mold where it seems to be difficult for them to look outside the box and figure out, you know, how to work with someone who's different.
Yeah. I mean, they eliminate the fullback. They eliminate the tight end blocking now. They eliminate all this stuff, and then they want these pocket passes quarterbacks to sit back there and get their heads smashed in. Well, make up your mind, guys. What do you want? Do you want a guy who's athletic, who can throw the ball on the run, who can make plays in and out of the pocket? Or do you want some guy who's going to sit in the pocket? Then you better get a fullback and a tight end that can block. And you better stop this nonsense with thinking right tackles are going to be as good as left tackles, because it's not going to happen. The offensive line talent that's coming out is not there, and it hasn't been there for the last 3-4 years.
So let's talk a little bit about the offensive line, and obviously, you know, the Giants also need some work and some help on the defensive side as well. You know, you said that you don't really think the offensive line talent is there, but you know, if the Giants want help on the offensive line, say, you know, within the first couple of rounds, are there players that you think, you know, that you would target who might be able to step in fairly quickly for the Giants, particularly on that right side?
Yes, there definitely is. I mean, the Cody Ford kid, I've been doing work on him just today, Oklahoma, and he's what I consider a pure right tackle. You're not going to move him. He's not going anyplace. He's not a guard. He's not going over to the left side. He's not anything but a pure right tackle, and he's a good one. He's got a lot of pride in him. He lacks the lateral agility that you like to see for the left tackle. He's a little bit stiff. He's kind of very similar to your left tackle that you have right now, only he may not be quite as athletic, but kind of in the same vein, okay? And he can help somebody right away. Jonah Williams, most people are going to say they want to move him inside. I think, you know, he's like Joe Thomas was coming out for the Browns. I mean, he's just such a technician that he could help somebody right away on the left or the right side or inside. Andre Dillard is a little bit of an offensive left tackle that probably he's got a little bit of work to do, but he's got some great talent and he's got good mental toughness. Greg Little, I'm not so wild on. Most people are wild. I think he's very sloppy. When I see somebody who's played as much as he has, who's sloppy with his techniques, it makes me think that the work ethic just isn't there where it's supposed to be. Now, if someone said to me he went to class and he graduated in 3 years, then I'm kind of lean back off of that and say, okay, you know, let's give him some rest there. But you know, from what I understand, from what I've done, you know, Greg Little is a little sloppy, and I'm not so wild about him. Dalton Reisner, I think, will help at right tackle. He'll help at guard, but I think his biggest thing is he'll be a big time center for somebody, and he'll help right away. And then there's the rest of them that are, most of them are going to be developmental, but fairly decent. Michael Dieter is another guy who's played all three positions, center, guard, and left tackle. His strength is lacking big time, and he's not great in the run game, although it's surprising coming from Wisconsin, they say that. And there's some others I haven't done work yet on, Connor McGovern, Mitch Hyatt, you know, the big, strong, powerful guards, Bo Benschwagel, and Ross Pierschnagel, or however you say his name, I can't even say his last name.
Yeah, let's not go there.
Yeah, those guys are not great with their feet, but in certain types of offensive systems, the play-action vertical system, like the Giants should be playing instead of trying to force Manning into a West Coast offense that he does not fit in very well. In those types of offenses, those guys are very, very powerful and very good. And the one guard that's really underrated, Ben Powers out of Oklahoma, he's a really good guard. So there is talent there. It's developmental. The few guys I mentioned, Cody Ford and Jonah Williams, Jawan Taylor, a lot of people like him. I'm not as high on him as other people are, but I've been wrong before, so I'm not sold that I'm correct on him, but I think he's more of a second rounder and developmental. But these guys are decent guys. They're strong-willed guys, strong-minded. They played more than one position for their teams, which is really good. And sometimes that messes with their techniques for their evaluated position that they're playing right now. Somebody will say, well, his techniques aren't that good, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, he played center, guard, and tackle. By the time he got over to the tackle, yeah, maybe his techniques aren't that great. He's going to have to learn, but he's got the mental ability and stamina and will to learn. If he's learned at center and learned at guard, then he'll learn at tackle. So don't worry about it. So, yes, there is talent here. And it could be done. I don't know if it's top 10 talent, but there's first round talent here. That's for sure.
Obviously, you know, the draft, people get hung up on the first round, on that very first pick. The Giants right now, you know, before the compensatory picks are awarded, the Giants have 9 selections. I think they're probably going to get 2 compensatory picks, which would give them 11 picks overall. When you look at this draft and you look at the fact that the Giants probably need as much help as they can get on the, especially on the defensive side of the ball. And I know you're not all the way through studying all of the prospects in this draft yet, but do you look at this draft as one where, you know, if the Giants want defensive help, they should be able to find it throughout the draft?
Yeah, if they're going to stay at 6, okay. I personally think Haskins is a good enough quarterback to pick at 6. But if they're going to stay at 6, there really isn't anybody else there. They need to go on the defensive side of the ball, and they should go on the defensive side of the ball. And they need pass rushes. I mean, come on, you know, let's be honest. They weren't getting into the defensive end very quickly. So, you know, I'm not big on Rashard Gary, but a lot of people are. Josh Allen was there. The kid I really like is Cleveland Farrell. And I think, you know, if the Giants really want a pass rusher, he would be the guy I kind of zone in on, because I think he has great talent now, and he also has developmental talent. In other words, he hasn't hit his stride. He hasn't gotten to the next level. And to me, that kid is you know, I believe you're picking at number 6, if I'm correct there, Ed.
That's right.
Yeah. At number 6, I mean, if he's sitting there, I would jump all over him. And if nobody was telling me that I was wild about Haskins, you know, which is fine. I mean, that, you know, everybody has their own opinion about these guys. And just because everybody says, oh, Haskins this, Haskins that, blah, blah, blah. If they don't feel Haskins the guy for them, then they shouldn't pick him. I mean, let's be honest. What are they doing? I mean, so go after a pass rusher then. And Farrell would be the guy that I'd jump on if I were the Giants at that point.
And let's go back a little bit. Where do you stand, you know, personally, you know, going back? We just watched Saquon Barkley have a tremendous, tremendous, you know, rookie season, you know, win the offensive rookie of the year. You know, going back to 2018, would you have taken Barkley there, or if you were the Giants, would you have gone quarterback and set yourself up for the future?
Well, I believe you managed the draft, okay, with the information you have at the time of the draft, and you don't get off that. And the value pick at that point at number 10, if you feel you needed a quarterback, then you should have taken him. Now, everybody in the world thinks, but the Giants, thinks that they needed a quarterback, and they should have taken him. I happen to agree the same way. I think Eli is struggling, as we all know. He's in the wrong offensive system since they brought Bob what's his name, McAdoo in. They've insisted on trying to force him into a West Coast offense system. He's never been a West Coast offensive team. He wants to throw the ball down the field. That's the way Manning's made his living. He's thrown the ball down the field. He's not his brother. He's not going to do checkdowns very well. He doesn't like to do them. He looks down the field first. That's the kind of guy he is. I don't know why they feel that he has to fit this system that they're in now. Now, if they change, then they don't need a quarterback. Eli Manning is fine. He's as accurate as he's ever been. He throws down the field as well as he's ever been. He's sturdy in the pocket as he's ever been. So if they don't feel they need the quarterback, like they did not feel they needed the quarterback last year, then they got to pass on him. But to be honest with you, if they insist on going to the West Coast, then they need a quarterback, because Eli Manning is not the quarterback for the West Coast offense.
Drew, hey, I really do appreciate your spending some time with me today. Why don't you tell folks where they can find you on Twitter before I let you go?
Well, it's Twitter at drewboilhart.com. It's real simple. Go to the Huddle Report. You'll find me. I'm kind of like a disease. I'm a little bit all over the place. So it's not hard to find me. But the one thing I want you to do is to go and read the profiles. You can find profiles in the archives from 2004 on. You'll find good ones. You'll find bad ones. What I try to do is I make them entertaining. And I make them different for a reason. And I try to pinpoint somebody's what I think is going to make them a good player at the next level. It might not necessarily be a strong arm. It might necessarily be mental strength. It might be leadership. When I talked about Baker Mayfield last year, I said there was no one in the draft that was committed to being excellent, more excellent than Baker Mayfield. That was his key point. That was the reason why I thought he would make it. You know, these are the things I try to do. I try to pull that out and show you where that is. So you can go on the film and you can actually see that the way I see it. So that's what I try to do. Hopefully it entertains you and hopefully you see it. And join us. We're free. You can join us anytime you want on thehuddlereport.com.
Drew, thank you very much for spending some time with me today.
Thank you very much. I apologize for my coughing. I've had a real bad cold these last couple of weeks since I came back from the Senior Bowl. So I apologize to everybody out there. And I hope the Giants have a very, very successful draft this year. I really do.
Thank you much, Drew.
Okay. Bye-bye now.
All right. Our thanks to David Morris of QB Country and Drew Boilhart of the Huddle Report for joining us for this edition of the Valentine's Views podcast. Please remember to subscribe to Big Blue View Radio on all of your favorite podcast applications. Please remember not only to check out my shows, but to check out the twice weekly shows from Chris Flum and Dan Pizzuta as they try to get you ready for the 2019 NFL Draft while also offering some insights into, you know, their perspectives on the Giants offseason. Okay, Giants fans, thank you for listening. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Support for this show comes from Vanta. Dealing with loads of spreadsheets, juggling different tools, and having to do manual security checks, it can be a headache to keep up with today's compliance and security programs. Vanta is the trust management platform that wants to simplify things and bring all your trust-building efforts under one roof, making growth smoother for your whole organization. Vanta lets you automate up to 90% of compliance for SOC 2, ISO 27001, HIPAA, and more. Strengthen security posture and reduce third-party risk. Get $1,000 off Vanta when you go to vanta.com/vox. That's VANTA.com/vox for $1,000 off Vanta.